Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
It's just like the problem-solving aspect of fashion that I love. We might start off with an idea that the whole collection is just sheets with holes in, and we have to somehow make it work. So you start with that kind of idea, and you don't really know how you're going to get there in the end.
For the collections you're working on, has it taken on board everything you've been through in the last year or so?
It's slowly coming back to normal, but I think things will kind of never be the same again. The way that it kind of all changed so suddenly, I guess, just shows that you can't really have a plan for anything. So you just kind of have to adapt as things change.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion, and welcome to the BOF podcast. The pandemic has not been a particularly easy moment for independent fashion designers, even some of the most talented ones, like this week's guest, Craig Green, who is hard at work on his spring-summer 2021 collection, which he is hoping to reveal in October. This time, it won't be in a fashion show format. As he explains to our editor-at-large, Tim Blanks, Craig is exploring alternative ways of showcasing his collection that feel more appropriate to the times. He discusses his ongoing collaboration with Moncler and his love of problem-solving and dream of designing a wardrobe classic. Here's Craig Green, Inside Fashion.
Craig, hello.
Hello.
We're here today, BOF Live, with Craig Green, really one of the most exciting, probably the most exciting menswear designer in the world. We last spoke a couple of months ago, I guess, when Paris was doing their digital. How long ago was it? When Paris was doing
like
their digital.
3 months ago.
Yeah. And at that time, it's interesting. I felt like there was a sort of, we were still in a moment of uncertainty. I guess we're now in a moment of even greater uncertainty, but you were still finding your way through the challenges of this situation that's prevailed for designers and for the fashion industry. Because it felt like before this happened, at the beginning of this year, you were on the cusp of change, and then COVID happened. You were moving to Paris. You'd moved to Paris. You were just taking your career in a new direction. And then obviously everything stopped and had to be reassessed. Where are we right now?
I think we're still in that period of not really knowing what's going on and not really knowing what feels right, I think. I mean, we're still working on, we're still kind of completing our Spring Summer 21 collection and planning ahead for next year. And of course, we have like a number of kind of collaborations and projects and campaigns that we're kind of working on as well at the same time. Everyone in the team's kind of back in the office now, which is nice. I mean, they're actually on vacation right now. That's why it's so quiet here. But yeah, it's slowly coming back to normal, but I think things will kind of never be the same again. And it is kind of like, it's slightly annoying because, yeah, I guess we just moved to Paris for the first time to show, and things were changing in a better way. Like the team was growing and lots of things were happening. But I think the way that it kind of all changed so suddenly kind of, I guess, just shows that you can't really have a plan for anything. Everything gets thrown out the window last minute. So you just kind of have to adapt as things change.
When you said you were getting back to normal, is this the new normal or is this what was it happening?
It's definitely a new form of normal. It's not how it was before at all. I think just like, I guess anyone that has like who works in design or fashion, it's such like a human-based process of models and fittings and interacting with people. And when you have kind of restrictions about how many people can be in one space and having to wear masks while you're doing fittings, it just is not the same as it was. It might not be like that forever. I guess it's just kind of, you just have to adapt to the situation, I think. But it doesn't have to be, it's only negative if you think it's negative kind of thing.
I think it's a very, I imagine it's a, well, looking from outside, I could imagine it's a particularly, it's almost an ironic situation for you, because if I think about what defines your work for me, that the really unique quality is a sort of maybe like a medieval futurism. It's interesting that people have been writing about this as something that's coming out of the pandemic, is this notion of, you know, a plague-riddled past with the way that the future is being shaped by our response to that particular set of circumstances. And when I think about, you know, the magnificent Craig Green collections of the past, there is this medieval element. There's the sense of there's a sense of being close to nature, of quite tightly defined communities, of you know, you see things like samurais and knights and in your clothing. I have seen those, and armor and the notion of protection and defense against the unknown. And that's all so appropriate to what we've all been living through. I just wonder if you've stopped to think, oh my goodness, this is my time in a funny way.
Maybe those kind of things are more interesting when you're not kind of living them. So maybe now kind of time to change that. But yeah, I mean, the aspect of protection has always kind of been there. And it's always like a starting point in everything that we do. And it can be things that are kind of based on in functional protection and clothing, but it's also sometimes about things we do. I don't know, like it's that kind of that kind of protection aspect is always something I've been interested in. But I think that also kind of links back to the idea of uniforms, because they're protective in a way that they kind of link you, like you become part of a group when you wear a uniform. And I think that idea of being part of something is protective in some way. But then there are other aspects to it in terms of protective clothing and workwear functionality, and all of those things are kind of are just things that we always kind of come back to and float around on, I guess.
I love the idea of talismans. I love the idea of people wearing things to ward off evil, basically. But have you felt that more when you're reassessing your work over the last while? Can you feel yourself kind of evolving that idea in some way? I mean, is fashion a talisman?
I'm always kind of looking back at the past collections and kind of deciding what didn't work and what did work, and that kind of changes constantly between from day to day, really. So it's always something that we've done. I don't know if it's any more. I guess over the last few months, you don't really have much time to like sit and analyze the past. It's more kind of you're reacting to the moment and what's kind of happening. They're things that we always kind of circle around and go back on, but it isn't any different to what it was previously.
Really?
In some way. Well, I guess we haven't done a show yet, so maybe when it comes to the energy around a show and that kind of storytelling aspect, I think maybe it will be a bit different. But
I mean, even in the clothes, you don't feel that, you know, we're all responding to a threat right now. Everybody is. Whatever you do, you're responding to this outside threat. Like there hasn't been a threat like that for centuries, really. You don't feel your work kind of taking shape in response? Like the notion of protection, for example, becomes something a lot more real, perhaps, than it has.
Maybe that's why it doesn't feel so nice to fantasize about it anymore, because it's so real. I think we're always kind of under threat in some way. Maybe not on the level that we're kind of experiencing right now, but I think that need to feel protected is always there in people. That need to be part of something, that need to wear things that maybe we don't necessarily actually need for protection. I don't know, it's just something that I've always been attracted to, and I kind of think people, I feel that people kind of always want to feel protected. I think I always kind of say, you know, like it's like having a 4x4 in the city. You don't actually need a 4x4, but you feel a certain level of protection knowing, or having an Arctic jacket and living in a climate where it's never ever going to get that cold. I don't know, that kind of feeling, I guess it's like a kind of, you get an inner calm from feeling that kind of protection.
Well, you know, you do these collections for Montclair, and I was walking down Bond Street the other day, and the window of Montclair in Bond Street was your clothing, and it looked like sci-fi crusader clothing. You know, it really looked like 24th century armor. And I thought, how interesting that, because I know those collections as sort of the genius collections from Montclair are staggered throughout the year. And I thought, well, just because I was outside Montclair, I guess it wasn't any more significant than that. But how funny that that's what I was looking at in the window, just as all these things have been going through my mind. I mean, that's just what you were saying, that this repurposing of super functional, you know, high performance clothing for the city, like a 4x4, driving it in the city. Incredibly functional things. Is this something you've taken a sort of perverse enjoyment from over your career, taking a functional notion and then building it into this thing of rather perverse beauty?
I think especially with Moncler, I think part of the reason why we thought the collaboration from the very beginning could work is that I always saw Moncler as a brand that's about protection and functionality. And I thought it was really interesting to kind of, it's something that I've always been interested in, but it's kind of something that Moncler do in a very different way. And I thought that kind of twisting those ideas within Moncler's heritage and world could kind of be an interesting partnership. Like, for example, the first collection that we did with Moncler, the idea was to, I thought it would be interesting to look at any, the most obvious kind of research imagery of Moncler, like mountains and ski and outdoor sports, and try and find something in them that maybe people hadn't looked at in a certain way or hadn't been inspired by, and kind of use that for the first collection. So we were inspired by, like, the first collection that we did, which was the Moncler sea capsule. It was inspired by when people break their leg on a mountain and they get strapped down to a stretcher, and the shape that the blanket made under the straps kind of created like a Moncler jacket. So I thought maybe that was a good way to twist it into that. Which also kind of created the shape a bit like a sex toy or like anal beads in some kind of strange way. Or a spaceman, if you look at it in a, with a more kind
so
of...
That's quite high-low then, literally high-low, isn't it?
I think that's, that was always kind of what was interesting about what we could do with Moncler, that it was about protection and functionality, but it was things that could be seen in an innocent way, but also maybe in a slightly darker way, depending on who was looking at it.
Did that come back into your own work then? Because, you know, you've become quite lyrical in your own work. You know, there's a figurative element, there's painting and there's color and there's a sort of elevated, more sort of maybe more experimental in a way, that you're exploring areas that from the functionality you have moved from that to a more sort of almost spiritual level, would you say, that you're not shy of that, maybe the way you used to be? I used to laugh when people go backstage, you know, like me, and they're always kind of bombarding you with these incredibly spiritual interpretations of what you've just done, and you just say, oh god, no, it's anal beads or something like that, you know, like bring it all the way down. But would you say you've actually in yourself you've come to grips more with that?
I mean the textiles aspect has always kind of been there, but in different ways. So like with the prints and the kind of more experimental textiles, I was a textile graduate when I was at college, although it was more kind of menswear. It's kind of always been there, but yeah, sometimes the set of three collections that we're working on can spin into a more kind of textile experimental world, and then sometimes it can be very stark and plain. But yeah, talking about how, you know, when you come backstage and stuff, I think I always find it difficult to talk about things in that kind of spiritual way. I don't know why. I mean, usually they are based on the things that I talk about, but they are things that you can kind of find spiritual, whoever you, depending on the person. So I don't know. I find it difficult to talk about things in maybe a kind of grand or very, very deeply conceptual way. Because usually they don't start from places that, well, the starting points to the collection don't come from places that are maybe very, very conceptual or maybe very deep or something. But when they all come together, maybe you could see it as conceptual or deep, I guess.
But do you find it easier then if I just say, well, you know, the music of Kate Bush has been kind of the thread for your career. So if you follow a Kate Bush album, if you follow Ariel, for example, and when you were grouping your collections in threes, are you still doing that, you think?
So I think the last collection was the end of that three. So now we are starting the next three. I don't know, like it never started off as threes. It just like maybe about nine collections in, I always want to kind of categorize everything for no reason.
But a trilogy.
No sense for anyone. But.
No, trilogy, beginning, middle, and end. It's perfect. That's the perfect threesome, beginning, middle, and end. But was the last one Kate Bush, the Kate Bush's Ariel album, then the last three? Or is her music always kind of the thread that ties them all together?
I mean, I only started realizing it recently how you could look at the collections and the campaigns and kind of link them strangely to Kate Bush songs or albums, but it was never kind of, they were never the starting point and it was never kind of intentional. But if you look back, you can do that. There was like a collection that was a bit like Army Dreamers, if you look back in some kind of strange way, and certain campaigns could be like cloud busting or, you know, like it kind of really depends. But it's just, she's just someone that I've always, who I would love to meet and love to work with. And I really think she's a completely incredible person. And her work and her music has always been that kind of, you know, you always look back and you think, even when I was doing my A-levels at school, I would listen to Kate Bush. And since then, it's always kind of been a thread. And it's only recently I've looked back and maybe because I'm always trying to categorize everything. I don't know why. It's not really useful to anyone, I don't think. But, you know, like trying to find a reason why things happened in the past. But I think it helps me to kind of compartmentalize them and then kind of move on to the next thing.
Wow. That's deep.
Is it? Or if it was quite simple, but
I mean that
maybe it's more self-analytic, self-analyzing.
But that's kind of the way you create order out of chaos, that you compartmentalize and you know to find a subliminal thread in what you do. I mean, that's kind of interesting. It's that kind of, you know, is fashion an art? When you find something, like if you can find this through line in everything you do, it becomes like art. It becomes like this ongoing, well, I guess it's like, I mean, the cliche is it's like a journey, isn't it? That you're on a journey when you're doing this, you know, when you're.
Yeah, it's strange because there's not really any reason to kind of categorize it in that way. I mean, there's like no one's looking back and kind of trying to find why why things have, like, I guess fashion's all about kind of moving forward, isn't it? Not looking back and putting them into categories. But I find it helpful. I don't know. It's also like the way that we start a collection as well. Usually it starts with kind of blocks of color on a wall before we even have clothes or before we even have fabric, to try and find the rhythm of the collection or to try and find, I guess that also links back to that kind of idea of uniform and uniformity and kind of a rhythm of something. So I don't know. We always, it's just like a, I guess it's just like a certain way of working, but.
But do you feel like you're telling, now you've done however many collections you've done how many now? How many is it?
It must be a multiple of three. That's all I know.
Nine?
Three. I think maybe 12.
12? Good Lord. I'm getting old. Do you see it now, like when you're talking about kind of categorizing it all, do you see it now as chapters in a way? You can look back on it and see how each collection is a chapter. And there is this book that you're writing here in a way. You know, I feel that because it's a remarkably consistent, you know, we talked about this, that there are menswear designers, you know, Helmut Lang or Raf Simons, where the idea is evolution. And you're expanding on this, on these central themes. Do you feel, in a way, that's what you've been doing for the last however many seasons?
Expanding on
certain themes. There are certain things that interest you. I would say, you know, light versus dark. It seems to be a theme with you. And I would say spirit versus flesh. You might kind of disagree with that. There's something incredibly physical in your work, but there's also something really elevated, you know? There was one collection you did where the models all had bare feet. They walked with the banners. And everybody was crying at the end of that show. And you don't really see that very often in fashion. And that interesting balance between the body and the spirit, I thought, and light and dark as well. These themes, you think, and utility and fashion is another contrast too.
I think there's definitely themes that kind of, like, even if I look back to my MA collection from Central St. Martin's, which was 2012, although it was a long time ago, I think you can still kind of, there is some kind of similarities between the collections now and then. I mean, that collection was all about the relationship between workwear and religious wear, and how one is for like a physical function and the other is more for a kind of spiritual, like an imagined, not non-physical function usually. But they have so many similarities in terms of construction and cut and style of clothing. So it was all of those kind of things that I, and those aspects are still there. So I guess like uniforms, communal ways of dress, functionality, utility, all of those things kind of, even though each collection we start off, we have a starting point that feels so far away from the previous collection or like the previous seasons, somehow in the end, it always kind of ends up becoming a bit similar or part of the story, even if we try to really start somewhere else. And we think, oh, it's going to be so different this time. And then somehow
you said something so interesting that this, throughout this pandemic, you know, I think people have become so aware of the workers in society, you know, the people who keep society functioning, the people who don't get any credit, and often they're the people at the very bottom of the pyramid, but they're the ones who've kept things going. And you were talking about workwear and that, in that context, and for those people, you called them angels on earth. And so, I thought that was so, that really felt like, you know, this sort of, this evolution of one of your central themes.
I think that's what's always really important for us, that the uniform aspect or the utility aspect, or the workwear, I guess you call it, it's always based on the uniforms of people that actually do the work. It's always kind of the worker rather than the uniform of status. So it's kind of like, that's always really important. Or always, it's not very important, but it's always, it never feels right when we do something based on uniform that isn't to do something in, if that makes sense. I'm not really making sense, but...
No, it does make perfect sense.
And then there's and the collection, the, you know, the Angels on Earth kind of collection was the spring summer 19 that we showed at Pitti. And that collection, yeah, we kind of referenced like nurses' outfits and hospital scrubs. And it was just that kind of idea that, yeah, like angels on earth, or like the people that are really gonna save you.
And that was way before what happened this year. So it's interesting, isn't it, that fashion can project itself into a situation in a really unanticipated way.
Mm.
you know, because everything's been about hospital, about nurses, and people work in hospitals. And
I think something like the pandemic and what's happening right now has kind of put a, you know, like a spotlight on that maybe a bit more. But it was always there. They were always the people that were going to save you no matter what. So I guess it's now the spotlight is a bit more on that kind of subject. But yeah, they were always there.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic sky panorama glass roof. Ah, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Are you that's an idea that you could be running with even more now. I mean, for the collections you're working on, that we will, when will we see these collections? Are you planning to show them?
The next collection we are launching early October, spring summer 21, but we're doing it in a completely different format to what we've done previously. So yeah, can't say much.
But has it taken on board everything you've been through in the last year or so, last 9 months?
The thing is, like, most of it was kind of, because it would have been shown in June, most of it was kind of already in process quite early on, almost like in February, March. It's definitely changed since then. It's a completely different way of showing and presenting, I think, is kind of the main aspect of what we're doing right now. And now we're just about to start on what we're on, the new collection, which will be autumn winter 21. And hopefully that'll be a show again if we're going to shows then.
February or March?
Yeah, February. February. Yeah.
I mean, I'm your shows have always been so important to you as a kind of crystallization of but very humble. I mean, your shows have managed to be emotional without being super scaled. I mean, they've managed to be very impactful without being extravaganzas. How important has that element been for you? I mean, you're talking about doing this next presentation in a completely new, unprecedented way. Is that unprecedented, would you say?
I don't know. I feel like that word is like lost meaning recently. I guess so, maybe.
Do you enjoy working on that element as well? I mean, some of your photo shoots for your clothing have been very extravagant, actually. You've blown things up. So is that something, is that an element that you really, really enjoy as well?
I think part of the reason why I was really attracted to fashion at the beginning was the image-making aspect of it, maybe even more so than dressing people aspect of fashion. I always think a fashion show is like a really important thing. It's quite weird that we haven't done a show this season. It would be like it's the first time in maybe 9 years that we haven't done a show in June, which is quite an odd thing. But yeah, like the image making aspect and the making some, I guess it's like making something inspirational for people or making something that makes you feel something. Like even going back to my MA collection, the sculpture aspect or like the big black houses or like the luggage carriers, they came before the clothing. And then the clothing was a bit like an afterthought. It was like they need something to wear whilst they carry the sculpture. So I don't know. It was that aspect has always been there. It's always been kind of, I guess.
Why was that more important than the clothing, do you think?
I don't know if it was more important, but it definitely came first. You know, like it was almost like the clothes were like, oh, and they need an outfit. That collection anyway, maybe it's not like that anymore, but looking back, that was kind of a bit more the thought process. It like started with, I've just always loved that image making aspect or like trying to create an image that lasts longer than just now, or might be in a book one day, and that kind of approach has always been there.
But you've often used banners and you've often used things that reshaped the body, you know, that changed the human silhouette, that are very ritualistic. What is that, do you think, in you, that when you say you'd love to see these photos and you'd love to see the images in a book, they could be in a book without any kind of context, actually, and be completely fascinating? I mean, they could be from any time, any place in a strange way. That there's a sort of timelessness to that stuff, which is really, I've always found really strange and kind of fascinating. Where do you think that comes from?
I think the aspiration, like my aspiration when I was at college was to be in a book. Like that was like my dream. I mean, I never really dreamed of being a fashion designer. I didn't really dream of any job, really. I just kind of went along with what felt right at the time and knew I liked to make things, knew I was kind of okay at building or making or learning things in terms of like art and design. But one of my main goals was I really wanted to be in a book in the library in the future. That was like, that was like my main goal.
How far in the future?
I don't think I thought that far ahead, but I just knew that when I was at college, I was like, oh, I would love to be in a book, and I would love for, I don't know, students to find that image one day and be inspired.
Human students? I think.
Sorry?
Human students?
Human students?
Or just post-human?
I don't know if anyone's going to the library anymore, but yeah, maybe not human students.
what did you want them to think when you saw those pictures of those boys with the structures, with the houses and the banners? What would you want people to think? How would you want people to respond? Well, whoever, it doesn't have to be people who are looking in this book. It could be something that comes after us in about 50 years.
Like the same way that I guess the same way that I felt when I first discovered designers like Walter van Berendonk, and I kind of realized that fashion could be about anything, or could come from anywhere, or could come from anyone. It didn't have to be from what I understood fashion would have been, which kind of I found quite scary when I started St. Martin's. Like, you have an idea of what fashion as a course would be and what fashion as a career would be. And then you discover kind of designers that, like Walter, who are so uncompromising in what they do, and so individual in their voice, and make the work about where they're from or what they do or what they've done, which might not necessarily be a classic reference point.
I think of him as Walter van Berendonk as being a very defiant designer, and I've actually it's never occurred to me before that you might be as well. That maybe you're actually defying convention in the way you work, in the way you show, in the way you design, and actually that you're defiant.
I always try and I think rather than, I don't know, in the collections is, I think we've spoken about it before, but I always think I prefer it when someone sees it, and I prefer when someone sees the clothes or the collection or the campaign and sees something or decides for themselves what it's about, or what they see it being, rather than it being a specific statement that I wanted to say or that I'm fighting against. So in that way, I don't know if you call it defiant, but yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Well, actually, you're leaving it up to them, which I find very interesting, because you give them some very strange tools to work with to create their own idea of what it is that you've done. Although you did say something so interesting that kind of crept out of nowhere, and you know, those things you say when you're not really thinking about them, they turn out to be really, really important. But you said, you told me, I understand what I was meant to do. And that really intrigues me. I mean, what do you think that means? I understand what I was meant to do. Like, you've had some kind of illumination, and
oh, you mean when we spoke a few months ago?
Yes, yeah.
I think that was more in, I think it kind of goes back to Louise Wilson, because I think until I met Louise, I didn't really understand whether I had a future in fashion or whether I'd be doing something else. And it wasn't until I met her, I think when I met Louise, I mean, firstly, I kind of had a good relationship with her, and we got along, and also I really respected her as an educator and as a person. And I think when I joined BMA course at Central St. Martin's, I think she encouraged me to push further and encouraged me to kind of continue with doing what I thought was maybe interesting at the time. And I think she understood where I could take it before maybe even I understood what I was doing, or like what I was, or why I was doing it. but she pushed, she pushed me and she encouraged me to not care what, I think she would always say, like, why do you care what other people think? And why do you care what other people are doing? And why, and that kind of pushed me along to kind of, I don't know, maybe beat my own path or in some way.
Did you need her to tell you that, or was that already in you, do you think?
I think I've always worked, even if I look back to my A-level art teacher, who's called Mr. Barbie, who passed away a year after I left school, so we never really reconnected again. But I've always kind of done better when I have, when I've had, like, I don't know, a really inspiring, strong educator or somebody to kind of encourage me or push me along, especially in education. And I think I definitely needed Louise at that point, because I didn't really know. I mean, my BA collection was, I mean, most of it was like wooden meat kebab sticks kind of sewn into fringes and a wooden birdhouse with a balloon stuck on it. So I don't, I wasn't really sure where I'd fit in at that point. So I really needed, and I don't know what she saw in what I was doing or what she thought could become something, but I'm happy that she offered me a place on the course. And that she,
I think she saw fearlessness, because, you know, it's been there ever since. You talk about beating your own, you know, beating your own path. I mean, wow. There's it actually has been quite defiant in a way. Also, it's become much purer, like your path is, you know, this happens with artists, doesn't it? That their work kind of becomes purer. They becomes more, well, for some of them it does. It becomes more refined in a way.
I think it's just a constant learning process, isn't it? I still feel like I'm learning so much. Like with every collection you learn and every factory you meet, you learn, and every fabric supplier you learn. And I guess as it goes on, maybe you just naturally get more skills as you go along. But I don't think you ever learning. I think that's
what kind of things have you learned? Like, what would you say you've learned recently? I mean, it seems to me that you can, that last Moncler collection that we saw in Milan, you took clothes to a place where the clothes were almost the living thing. The person inside them was almost less important than this incredible living organism that you'd created. It was so futuristic. It was incredible. I mean, what are you learning that's allowing you to do those sort of, that sort of thing? What's your research process?
Even just in the, I guess what I mean by learning is, it's just like the problem solving aspect of fashion that I love, you know, like where you, and that's what I love about working with Moncler on collections, that we might start off with an idea that we want to, like, that all the whole collection is just sheets with holes in, and we have to somehow make it work. So you start with that kind of idea and you don't really know how you're going to get there in the end. But the whole process is like, how do you create this visual? How do you see the body inside the sheet, but also have a Moncler jacket floating on it at the same time so you can see both? And then how do you see the internal feather injected in the jacket all at the same time? And then how can someone wear it as well? So it's like all of, like, the, I still love the energy of, like, not knowing and trying to find out and working with people to kind of get the answer. But I'm just really kind of cute, I guess, like, I'm interested in all aspects of fashion, like even down to garment construction and fabric and textile and like how to construct a certain thing. Like I'm still interested to find out things like that. So I guess in that way, you're just always learning.
Is it a quest, do you think?
I guess you could call it a quest. It's a bit like an impossible quest, isn't it? Because you can never really learn everything and you can never really know everything. So I guess that's why you kind of have, that's why it keeps that energy, because it's forever changing and there's always more.
I think of you as quite obsessive, because I think of you as being very humble about what you do, which I find incredibly convincing. You know, it's not your voice isn't the voice one of the voices we're used to hearing in fashion, you know, but at the same time it seems you're very obsessive.
I think I'm definitely, I guess I would never have thought of myself as an obsessive person maybe a few years ago, but I'm definitely obsessive with work. I mean, I think like that's the reason why it's the reason why I went into like art and design, or the reason why I went into fashion, is because I had an energy for it at school. When I do not just an art subject, but even, I don't know, graphics or industrial design or product or anything that was to do with like making or building or problem solving, I would, comparatively to maybe like maths or science or writing an essay, I had an energy and a drive for it where I could work all night or I could work all weekend, or I wouldn't stop thinking about it. I could cancel all my plans just to kind of work on this one thing. And then I think that's what kind of steered me in that direction when I was younger, because I thought, I don't know where I'm going to go, but I know this path is right for me because I have a hunger for it. I love to work in that way. And it might not be in fashion, it might not be in art, it might not be, but something in that realm I just knew was fulfilling for me.
Do you think fashion gives you more opportunities to fulfill yourself on every level, from storytelling to design to the idea, you know, the development of ideas to, you know, that's
like the amazing part of fashion, that it's very hard to describe to somebody. I guess people have their own. Sorry, I keep playing with this bit of masking tape.
I wonder what you were doing there.
Always fiddling, making something out of masking tape. I think that's the aspect that I really love about fashion, and why when I was at college, it kind of steered me even further into that direction, that it's everything, you know, like it's textile, it's print, it's mathematics in terms of garment construction, it's storytelling when you're making a show or a campaign, you can build an installation in a shop. There's also a human aspect. It's kind of restricted by the human body, which I also love. I love that idea of working within a restriction, because the human body never really changes. So how many more times can you dress it up before you kind of run out of ideas? So I think that working in that restriction is really interesting as well. I also love the community aspect of fashion, which I think I like that you get to work with people. I like that you have a team around you. I guess sometimes I always think, oh, I wish I was a ceramicist and I worked on my own in a shed some, you know, like far away. But I think I would miss the people. I'd miss the discussing ideas and working on something together and building something together. And I think that's kind of what fashion gives you. I think that's why you can always have that energy.
You make me want to be a designer. That sounds
fantastic. Maybe I'll make it that more exciting than it actually is.
But is that why you said something wonderful? You said you would love to create the one item that became like a iconic, you know, like the Burberry trench or the
I think
or the Levi's jeans or something. You would love to be able to leave the world a Craig Green. What would it be? Worker jacket or something? What would it be, do you think?
That's another reason why I thought that I really respect a brand like Moncler, who kind of, I think, own a wardrobe. I don't know if you call it a staple, it's a bad word, but, you know, they own a wardrobe classic of, you know, if someone says to you, I'm going to go and buy a winter down jacket, you tell them, go to Moncler and get a winter down jacket. And I think to own that kind of icon wardrobe piece is, especially in menswear, I think is really like the goal. And I think I really respect brands that own those kind of items or those pieces of clothing. You know, if a man kind of, or somebody came and said to you, like, oh, I need to buy a wardrobe of 20 pieces, you would tell them, if you're getting a trench, get it from Burberry. If you're getting, you know, like, you would list off the different aspects of clothing. And I think for a brand or a designer to kind of have one of those items is really an achievement. So maybe one day.
You've probably got
a big green worker jacket, I don't know.
Yeah, you've got another 40 or 50 years. You've got another 40 or 50 years to work that out, and I would nominate.
Longer by then.
I'd nominate the worker jacket, I would.
I guess I think that's just like, you know, like I think in terms of dressing people or in terms of having a clothing brand, I think I have great respect for designers or brands that own wardrobe classics like that.
Well, Craig, that's a very, that's a good place to leave today. And then we can come back and talk in 40 or 50 years about,
about
your contribution to the global global capsule collection. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to talk to you. And as with everybody I speak to on Zoom, I don't know when I'll see you, but
hopefully very soon.
Hope so.
Thank you,
Tim. Thank you very much. Bye, Craig.
Bye-bye.
If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, give us a rating, and you might be interested in joining the Business of Fashion's global membership community, BOF Professional. Our members receive exclusive deep dive analysis, regular email briefings, as well as unlimited access to our archive of over 10,000 articles, our new iPhone app, and all of the online courses and learning materials from BOF Education.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.